I want you to think for a moment if there was ever something in your life that you did or you were a part of that maybe you just really regret. And you know that for certain people in your life that you interact with, they always see you as the person who did that thing or the person who was involved in that situation. No matter how much you wish you could change it, you just know in their eyes they've kind of reduced you to that one thing. Or, to be brutally honest, are there people in our lives that maybe did something once or were part of something once or were taken up in something once that we just think of them as if we reduce them all to that one act? Maybe it was stupid. Maybe it was hurtful. Maybe it was even criminal. But we just can't quite get beyond it. I'm mentioning this because that isn't all that uncommon of a thing. And maybe when I say it, something readily comes to mind for you, either about yourself or about somebody that you know. And when you see them, when you think about them, they're just bam, they're always that person who did that thing. One of the things that irks me about the readings we have after Easter in the church, and the church doesn't need my advice, but that never holds me back from giving it. And one of the things that we struggle with is we hear the gospel, and let's be honest, for many of us, the gospel is kind of the thing that most sticks with us. Those are often the most familiar stories, turns up in The Chosen. So we hear the gospel last, and in the beginning, we usually hear something from Acts of the Apostles. And you can't help but sort of see that as a progression, but of course it's backwards. Whatever we hear about in the Gospels is not the world of Acts of the Apostles. We live in the world of Acts of the Apostles. And so that first reading we get, we're seeing the church in a state after what we get in the Gospel. But we read it in reverse order. So today in that first reading, beautifully proclaimed, I don't know if you heard what Peter said. This is Peter standing up in front of a large crowd, and he's saying to them, do you guys know what you did? You denied Jesus. You denied what he did. You denied what he's about for us. You killed him. You hung him from a tree. Now, I just wonder how many people in that crowd, because, you know, rumors spread fast. They did 2,000 years ago, just like they do today. How many of them maybe scratched their head and said, man, Peter's accusing us of denying Jesus? It was barely a week when Peter had his famous denial. I don't know him. I don't know the man. So how many looked at him and just reduced him to that action? But that didn't stop him. Did Peter himself ever think about, my gosh, I'm ashamed to show my face because they know what I did? Think of the first time he showed up with the rest of the apostles around. Hey, Pete, what were you doing that night? We didn't really see you. But there he was. So how do you move beyond those things? Reconciliation, sure, that's a part of it. But how does the reconciliation come about? So we've been talking a lot in St. Joe's about belonging, right? You've heard a lot about that. What does it mean to belong? That's a great thing to think about in the Easter season. I've got a friend who doesn't so much talk about belonging, but he's invented a word. He calls it beyonding, right? Not Beyonce, but beyonding. What does it mean to get beyond something? And what he says is that's the real fruit of belonging. You know you belong when something in that community has helped you transcend, has helped you to move beyond. You see something that you didn't see before. You see a possibility in yourself or in others that you didn't see before. You take whatever that thing was that maybe you've reduced them to, or you felt shame or embarrassment because you think that's all other people see when they see me. And somehow we move beyond it. In just a week, Peter had moved beyond whatever shame he might have had in his heart. And we can say, well, yeah, that's Pentecost. That's what it does. But we've all received that Spirit. I'd even like to suggest that there's something they experience that helps kind of kickstart the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit needs any help, but I never stop from offering him advice. We have to receive the Holy Spirit, right? It's not that the Holy Spirit needs a little encouragement. And so now I'm really going to tee off on the readings, because in our reading today from Acts of the Apostles, we're reading from chapter 3, when Peter stands up and says, "You guys denied Jesus." Could they listen to him? Could they get beyond the way they knew what he had done, perhaps? Well, what did we hear last week in Acts of the Apostles? If today we're reading chapter 3, last week we must have been reading chapter 2, right? Wrong. We read from chapter 4. We got a little glimpse into what the church looked like after Peter stood up and made his speech. And chapter 4 is all about describing what the community looked like. Remember, they lived together as one. They shared their resources. If somebody needed help, they pitched in. This nascent parish. And I've got to believe anyone who saw that, anyone who witnessed them putting their lives where their mouths were in prayer or scripture, there's something there that said, that's who I want to belong to. I want those to be the people who look at me and say, you belong with us. Yeah, I know what you did a week ago, but you belong here because I see the effect that it's had. And that's what a parish does. If St. Joe's says, I want you to belong, it's only going to be taken up and believed if somebody can look at you, at us, and say, that's the people I want to belong to. And I can say that for myself. I think of Our Lady of Grace, the parish I grew up in, but I think of the first time I encountered St. Joe's as a parish, and I saw how you lived your faith, and I knew that that was happening here long before I was born. I know it'll be happening here long after I'm pushing up daisies. I'm sorry. Mom, what does pushing up daisies mean? It means when I'm gardening from the inside out. But this parish will be here. This church will be here. But the challenge for us that never goes away is, are we a people who can help those who belong to us be the ones who beyond from us? Not that they go away. But hearts that are imprisoned open up. Minds that are trapped know freedom. And that isn't just the work of well-meaning human beings. Of course, that's important. But kindness alone won't get us there. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why grace matters. But grace isn't magic and it's not voodoo. It has all its power, but it has to be received. And so I don't expect those kids to be talking about dignitatis infinitas, but if they're listening to their teachers, if they're listening to each other, if a little community is growing that next week they'll want to belong to when the call is made, then whatever's in that document is really coming to life. So just, I think, an encouragement and maybe a little spiritual exercise as we move into this next week of the Easter season, as we think and talk about belonging. Why would anyone want to belong to us? And when they do belong, what is it that we can do to help them move beyond whatever roadblock may be holding them back? And then to allow ourselves to be moved beyond in the same way.